They say I'm disturbed.
From city to city, an incredible hysterical panic spread.
I think we're getting into a weird area here.
Will you tell these fools I'm not crazy?
This hysteria.
You can't handle the truth.
His brain is gone.
This is Hysteria 51. The truth is out there.
It's alive.
But you won't find it here.
They're coming for you. Look, there comes one of them now.
Welcome in, Hysteria Nation, to a very hollow episode of Hysteria 51.
Want me to play Hollow by Alice in Chains?
No thanks. I think I can do without being sued. Welcome back, P.S., as you're immediately trying to get us in trouble. Broadcasting from the lower fourth dimension, also known as Chicago, with a layover in parts unknown, Colorado. We are your hosts and lead pole explorers this week.
Hey, can we maybe not refer to me as a pole explorer? You know, no particular reason.
Is it because?
All right, enough. We are your lead Hollow Earth guides this week, then.
Lame.
I'll take it. I'm David Flora. He's Brent Hand. The other two you've heard from are Conspiracy Bot and Kyle.
Cheese muffins.
I built C-Bot to help research and edit the show, and all he does is drink and kill stray cats.
And plot my eventual ruling of this planet. It's a living.
And he built Kyle, who thankfully is harmless, if not a bit annoying.
Speaking of annoying, did you see the new Weird Al movies coming out on the Roku channel?
Oh, so last week you were talking about a remake of a movie with Daniel Radcliffe. Now it's Weird Al, who Daniel Radcliffe is playing. I'm excited.
I don't know if I'd call it annoying. I'm interested to see it.
No. I'm not. I'm excited. And I also love that it's like a parody of the entire thing. You know, Weird Al was never like a drinker. He didn't party. And in this, he's like a hard drinking, drug using partier and stuff like that. It looks hilarious to me.
No, it looks great. I think I'm going to give it a shot. Cause Weird Al is not annoying.
No. I think people are upset because it's annoying that it's coming out on the Roku channel, because that is
annoying.
You know, that's one more channel to have to.
Thank you for clarifying that. Yeah, I was, but yeah, Roku, fuck that.
yeah. But anyway, you know, it's, I guess maybe they pump out a few more things like this that people really want to see. And now it's going to be like, you have to have the Roku channel. First Weird Al, then like Charles Nelson Reilly. I don't know. Is someone of that kind of caliber, and I'm going to be tuning in. I'm going to tell you that right now.
It's strange times we live in, for sure. Like, there are the streaming services have really upended a lot of nature. I don't know where Shadows in the Desert is going to land. Like. I'm saying all this, we're going to get picked up by Roku, and it's like, well.
I don't know if you know this or not, but I love the Roku channel. Love the Roku channel. Little did you know, yeah, they're doing a double feature of Shadows in the Desert and Weird.
Saturday night. Man, what a lineup.
There you go.
I'd be honored.
Speaking of lining up, people line up for pole holes. I don't know if you know that or not.
Pole hole.
Pole hole.
Don't you have to pay a toll to get into that pole's hole?
the boy's hole? The boy's soul. You gotta enunciate there, Frank.
Gotta pay the troll toll.
If you want to get in that boy's hole.
Oh, man. That's right, kids, though. It is another Hollow Earth week on Hysteria 51. But not just any Hollow Earth theory. We are talking one John Cleves Sims Jr. and the Sims theory of concentric spheres, among other things. But yeah, the Sims theory of concentric spheres and all the others who took the theory and ran with it, because that's what you do with a theory, much like a maneuver. You take it and run with it.
For the Riker maneuver, which you take it and sit with it.
Well, you sit, but you lunge over it with one leg over the back of, and then sit. It's, you know, you'll learn. You'll understand. Not only did old Johnny Boy have a badass name, he also said he had the key to getting our asses into said Hollow Earth through, you guessed it, we said it a little bit ago, pole holes. They're not just for fun. They're also for, entry, exit. That's, you know, you do with them as you please. Tell us about one Captain John Cleve Sims Jr., please, sure. Good sir.
Dateline, November 5th, 1780. Johnny Boy is born in New Jersey.
New Jersey. Outside of a Wawa.
Captain John.
Birthed by the Jersey Devil himself.
Right after shooting out of Mother Leeds.
Sorry. She was his 14th baby. Yeah, he was her 14th baby.
She was her.
It's, you know,
whatever. You don't hear about it because after the 13th one, things kind of went to hell.
Yeah, he was overshadowed, so to speak.
So Captain John was an American Army officer, trader, and lecturer.
Mm-hmm.
He traded. He wasn't a traitor.
traitor. Right.
And these TED Talks were for his 1818 variant of the Hollow Earth theory. In 1818. Johnny Boy introduced the concept of openings to the inner world at the poles.
Hashtag truth.
Right. We all know that. I mean, that's a given.
Yeah, there's certain things that carry their own hashtag. You don't have to point it out. But before we...
That's true. Hashtag truth.
Damn it! Before we get to the truths he was spitting as conspiracy bot claims, let's talk about his background.
Yeah.
His mother leadless background. John was the son of Thomas and Mercy Sims.
Mercy's a hell of a name. That is just a fun one.
That was when they had the great names of the time. Mercy, Prudence, Constance, Cottonball, I don't know.
Cabbage John.
Cabbage John. Only my father calls me Cottonball. You can call me Cotton Mathers.
Guten Tag.
He was named after his uncle John Cleve Sims, who was a delegate to the Continental Congress, a colonel in the Revolutionary War, Chief Justice of New Jersey, father-in-law of U.S. President William Henry Harrison. Yes, that William Henry Harrison. The one that died in the tub? Is that the one? Or died of pneumonia? One of the two.
Right.
Spoiler alert. He's dead. Pioneer in the settlement and development of the Northwest Territory and world sit-up champion of the 18th century. Man, what a CV.
That dude was banging on all cylinders for real. Like, that is a hefty shadow to have to live inside. No wonder he goes, I know how to get to the Hollow Earth. That's the only way I'm going to be able to top him. So I'm going to get us to the Hollow Earth. Period. Full
Jeez
stop.
Louise.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, John Cleve Sims, what a patriot. All that. He must have been super rich. Anyway, Sims received a good common English education, all in quotes. So, you know, do with that info what you will.
That's what everyone always said. Everywhere, we looked, received a good common English education, full stop.
I mean, common at the time, to a degree now, you could argue, is not a good thing. It's like, this is average. So maybe that's what they – maybe he's like, we didn't do any highfalutin what's in –
I'm not about to learn how to Princeton. Read and write.
We didn't send him to Princeton even though we're right next door. We gave him a public education.
That's right.
We sent him through the meat grinder like everybody else.
Meat grinding.
Anyway, so – and he was taught how to grind meat. On March 26, 1802, at the age of 22, he obtained a commission as an ensign in the U.S. Army, thanks to, I don't know, his uncle?
Right,
maybe
right.
The fact that his uncle was the patriotist patriot that ever padded his riot.
Damn it, Wesley. He's not Wesley. That kind of ensign. Not exactly the same.
Ensign Crusher. Shut up, Wesley.
Shut up, Wesley. Right.
He was commissioned into the 1st Infantry Regiment and was promoted to 2nd Lieutenant on May 1st, 1804, and then to 1st Lieutenant on July 29, 1807, took him a while, and to Captain on January 20th, 1813. Man. Wow.
Hell yeah. So he's moving up ranks, man. Yeah.
So, and you know what? He was no PU-55Y. In 1807, he fought a pistol duel with one Lieutenant Marshall.
That's something that went out of favor, and I'm ready for it to come back. Just, you know.
the duel.
Fight someone over your good name with a pistol duel.
I'm surprised that that's not legal in Texas and Florida
at least
right
Texas,
now.
Right. Well, Florida, yeah. I don't think it needs to be legal. It's just, it's frowned upon.
This happens. It's just that people are cowards. They don't face one person. They have to take out, you know, multiple. But
well, and duels in Florida are fought with gators. That's the way it's.
Yeah, gator slaps.
Bring your fighting gator. High noon.
I also like the name Lieutenant Marshall. It's kind of like Captain Sheriff. Yeah, shit. Anyways, Sims took one on his wrist. Marshall was hitting his thigh. Ooh. And then after having relieved their differences through lead, they became friends.
Never leave an enemy alive. Write that down.
That might be, obviously these guys made it through, so... Sometimes when you don't kill them, you know what they say, if you can't beat them, join them. Then they joined each other in friendship. And that is all that matters. Friendship. I almost said my friend to him, but I didn't want to say that. Friendship, my friend. Didn't seem right. Didn't feel right.
That's what's really inside the earth. It was friendship all along.
It was friendship all along. That and mole people. but a lot of friendship, they are very friendly. They just have a bad rap.
They're very friendly, but they're also blind.
Yeah.
So, you know, you might, there might be some instances of miscommunication, but hilarity will ensue. So it's all good.
mole people.
Right next to their crab people. Crab people.
Tastes like crab. Talk like people.
On Christmas Day 1808, Sims married Marianne Lockwood, a widow with six fucking children.
Oh, man, that dude was a saint.
And he raised all of them alongside his own children by Mary.
He was
so
a saint.
So that's
then.
Nice. Yeah. Then he fought in the War of 1812 during the siege of Fort Erie, all the way until being honorably discharged on June 15th, 1815.
That's pretty good, man. He was in there for years. He was, you know.
He was, so, yeah. When did he get in there? 1802?
I think. Yeah.
1802. So, 13 years in the militoire. So, you know, when you get out, time to start a new chapter.
Yeah.
Did you ever find out why he was discharged?
Probably after the war was over, I would assume. And so, like, you know. I don't know. I just found where he was, you know, honorably discharged, or maybe he was ready, to move on.
Yeah, I just wonder if he made the choice or they did.
Right.
Maybe they were like, dude, you keep talking about the earth being hollow. We can't have this.
Oh, man. No.
We're starting to have an army. Like, we're still in the baby state. We don't want people making fun of us like France.
How dare you, sir? How dare you? We need to settle this with a duel. We need to settle this with a duel. Grab your fighting gator.
The elf, she is hollow. So then he moved to St. Louis, which was a frontier settlement.
Yeah, this is old time. Yeah.
And went into business as a trader, as we mentioned before. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't the best, so he moved to Kentucky.
Every story we cover has something to do with Kentucky, I swear to God.
I just like that he was a failure, so he moved to Kentucky.
Well, yeah, that tracks. You can't made it in the frontier settlement of St. Louis. Maybe try Kentucky.
Kentucky had just won its statehood in 1792, so mm-hmm. it was fresh on fresh on the map. But after he failed as a trader... or while he did it, he was still contemplating the rings of Saturn and developing his theory of the hollow earth.
Yeah, they said he like would look at that and be like, they look like concentric rings, and I wonder what I could learn from that. And then he was just like, aha, I know, you know. And that became like his lifelong passion. And what we're focusing on this week is
that's right.
Sometimes you just look at something in the sky and go, I bet that's here, but different.
But that's here. You just can't see it.
Yeah.
Therefore, it's underground.
We wanted to give you his backstory. So that's kind of the backstory done, because that's important.
I love backstories of these dudes.
Not to be confused with back fat or back straps. or, you know, Canadian bacon.
Or whatever. Google's original name, back rub.
Was it really?
It's gross. Look it up.
I'd like a back rub. Hey, back rub, what's a good recipe for? not quite the same.
I've told you not to call me that, Brent.
I told you not to call me that, Daddy. If you insist, my lady.
Shut up, Wesley.
All right, so we're headed to break. When we come back, it's finally Hollow Earth time. We're going to get to the nitty gritty, or into those concentric rings into the earth. That's coming up for the break on Hysteria 51. Hola, David. Me amo Brent.
Bonjour, Brent. Je m'appelle David.
You didn't do Spanish. I thought if we were going to do this together, we'd do the same language.
Oh, sorry.
that's on brand for us.
I just thought romance languages was the key.
Everything I say is romantic, and that is thanks to Rosetta Stone. You guys, we've been touting these things forever. We love Rosetta Stone, and we actually are users. David, you've really been using it even for longer than I. What's your experience been like?
Oh, it's been great. The thing is, you really get to learn how to speak and think in that language with it. So it's very high on pronunciation, too. So you can, you know, learn how to speak.
And, you know, our show is all about proper pronunciation.
In that pronunciation. Yeah, that's right. But they design it for long-term retention, you know. If you don't get the pronunciation right, you say it until you do, and then, you know, that just seeps into your head.
Well, and that's why, you know, this has been trusted by experts for 30 years, and there's over 25 different languages that you can learn, and people, millions and millions of users use it because, like you said, it does seep in, and you're using it with, you know, you get speech recognition, and it hears you. You get to use, like, the built-in true accent features that gives you this pronunciation, which is super convenient, and you can do it at your own time. And I don't know if you know this, but I'm all about value, and you get a one-time purchase, 25 languages. If I learned all 25 languages, I'd be so confused or really cool. I'd go in and out.
But you'd be real marketable.
But literally, though, this is something that we use, and both of us have given the seal of approval because we want to do this long-term, and it's something that it works. You know, and we don't do long-term stuff like this. And this is the one that we've chosen, and we love it. So all you guys got to do, don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now, as we've told you 1,000 times, and it's always now. Right now. Get started. For very limited time, Hysteria 51 listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off.
How much?
50%. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your unnatural life.
Wow.
Redeem. How do they do it?
Rachete your 50% off. Rachete. Redeem it. 50% off. rosettastone.com/today. Do it today. After years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by overpriced wireless providers, if we've learned anything, it's that there's always a catch. So when Brent and I heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, we thought, man, what's the catch? But after talking to them, it all made sense. There isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They cut out the cost of retail stores and pass those sweet savings directly to you. Brent is trying a plan right now and says that it works like a charm from Chicago to Nashville as he makes his big old move. Mint Mobile is working for him. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. And you can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. So ditch the overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/hysteria. That's mintmobile, mintmobile.com/hysteria, hysteria. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/hysteria. $45 upfront payment required. New customers on first three-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
I declare the earth is hollow and habitable.
Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. Wait, he was from New Jersey. This is right up your alley.
Ooh, I declare the earth is hollow and habitable within, containing a number of solid concentric circles, one within the other, because that's fucking concentric. And that is open at the poles, 12 or 16 degrees. I
from
pledge
12:30 afternoon to 11 at night.
I pledge my life in support of this truth, and I'm ready to explore the hollow if the world will support and aid me in my undertaking. John Cleve Sims Jr., Sims Circular, number one, because every good theory needs a fucking pamphlet. We've told you on here repeatedly.
If you want to get anything done, print yourself a pamphlet.
Or a circular, as you know he called it, but you get the point, right? You know?
Never forget the Colt 45.
So, in that early 1800s, little was known about the North and South Poles or the Earth's core. We were still, you know, science was not what it is now, nor will, you know, nor science now really? What it was. Who knows? Who knows? You know?
Really? You mean just bloodletting and,
bring me my leech
I'm
and
I'm
going to
work on this body and then go straight into working on that other body after lunch
and
without washing my hands?
And I'll give you a shave. maybe trim up your sides a little bit. Yeah. So this other dude, Edmund Halley of Halley's Comet, was believed to be the first to speculate on existence of the hollow earth in this, what we're going to call a scientific manner. He thought the planet was a series of nested spherical shells, like Russian nesting dolls. He literally thought it was just one on top of the other, all spinning in different directions while surrounding a central core. So that's what he thought. And Halley noticed that the Earth's magnetic field is rather unpredictable, with its lines shifting from year to year, as we know it does. The pole shift, not shift like we're not a full shift, but the lines do move about. And you guessed it, he thought hollowness was to blame. So it's not just, you know, because of the Earth's core moving and blah, blah, blah. No, it's hollow. It's hollow. Hmm. And he believed that we're standing on the outermost shell with at least, but probably three concentric shells within. And it's the poles of these inner shells that throw off our magnetic field. Because they're moving and ours is moving and they cross each other. And, you know, you put magnets around one another and they bing, 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 you know, and they shoot all over the place. And it just makes sense, right? Oh, look, sure. A comet.
Sure. The Earth is bing, bang, booming all around the pinball machine that is our solar system.
That's right. And just for good measure, Halley claimed that there is undoubtedly life flourishing deep down there because he just felt it in his heart, I guess. And it's out there, and that's not lost on Halley. Tell us what he wrote about in 1692.
In 1692, he said, "If I shall seem to advance anything that looks like extravagant or romantic, the reader is desired to suspend his censure till he have considered the force and number of the many arguments which concur to make good so new and so bold a supposition."
In other words, I'm saying this and you need to believe it. He didn't really say much there.
He's like, I did my research. That's what he's saying in this. Right, he's like, I watched YouTube and...
Yeah, YouTube, actually.
YouTube, yeah. It's YouTube.
So we said he was the first to speculate, but the idea was not even new then. And we're talking about in the 1600s. It appears in folklore the world over, not to mention elsewhere in Europe in Halley's time even. So there's this German cat named, how do you say that name? Athanasius Kircher?
Athanasius, yeah, I guess.
Athanasius Kircher, I believe. And he published Mundus Subterraneus, which sounds like a John Waters movie. Not to be confused with Mondo Trasho that he made, but that was in 1664. And in this wonderful non-pamphlet, he claimed the Earth contained a central fire. Kind of true, if you think about the core. And vast underground lakes and lava chambers, both of those are kind of true. But then he said at the North Pole is a gaping vortex that sucks water down to the central fire where it's heated and expelled to the South Pole because reasons. And there is
the Earth is just a big worm.
Yeah. And it's got a hole and a waterfall. It's a lot of fun. It's like Action Park, Traction Park, you know. These types of theories were all over the place, but we're not here to talk about all of them. We're here to talk about Sims theory and those concentric spheres. I mean, we could go forever when someone was talking about it, but Sims, you know, got the ball and ran with it, so to speak. So by 1818, he was publishing his version of the Hollow Earth, which had concentric spheres, and it received light and warmth from the sun through large holes in the planet at the poles. Pole holes, baby.
The poles were getting the sunlight. The sunlight was coming through the poles.
They came in through and heated the inside. And I can explain it to you if it made any fucking sense, but it doesn't.
Fair. Okay, keep going.
That's just what he said. It's the same way, you know, they got light into the pyramids with an intricate system of mirrors. It's crystals or some shit. I don't know. Not water inlets.
The lost city of Zinj. The King Solomon's diamond mines found by me, Hakama Hamalka, formerly of Romania.
My name is very hard to say if you don't have a lot of phlegm. not water inlets and steam outlets like those dumbass Haley and them thought. Oh, no, 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 light source. This was the 1800s, you see. You don't get your name out there at the time without spreading the word. Because there was no YouTube like you were talking about in reality. You had to be crazy on a grander scale. And he was, and he did just that. This dude was relentless in publishing his views, which is really good for him. And we're talking lectures, letters to people that mattered. And his name was a name among names, so people would read it because, you know, they knew his name or they knew his uncle. Articles and papers. And then, by God, these circulars, these pamphlets, these, you know, anything and everything. It was really a pretty impressive way that he did it. Plus, to spice shit up, he wrote fictional accounts of the Hollow Earth, including Simsonia, Voyage of Discovery in 1820, which he published under the pseudonym Adam Seaborn, and advocated expeditions to the poles, you know, to find the holes. Huh. Yeah.
And, you know, because of his constant spreading of the theory, his Hollow Earth, illuminated by openings at the poles, became the most popularly known version and one that, you know, you could test.
Yeah.
But humans began struggling to reach the poles in such attempts.
I love you say that because the most popularly known because he literally was just blanketing everyone with his theory. So it was popularly known because it's the only one a lot of them had ever heard of.
Right. Yeah. Even in science classes back then, they're not really focusing on pole holes.
Yeah.
I don't think.
Yeah.
but so, yeah, but this though, was.
Well, I was going to say what you said is like, you know, reach them in attempts. He wasn't just saying this is it, you know, believe me. He was pushing to have this tested. I will give him that.
Which is fair. Yeah. That's.
He's saying, I need your backing, I need your banking, but it was so hard to get to these places at that time.
Yeah, even with this viral marketing that he did.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, you know, think about they're still trying their best to figure out how to tame the Arctic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you think of these stories of the ships that sail up there and then just get stuck in the ice and then everybody dies. It was tough going back then. Did you ever see the series The Terror?
No.
I think it's an AMC series. It is definitely worth a watch. It's got Kieran Hines in it. Let's see who else. It's basically the cast of Rome, but they are they are in a 18th century, maybe 19th century sailing vessel, and they go up to the Arctic. There's two ships. They go up there, and I think they may be looking for a Northwest Passage, or they may be looking for something. But it's kind of got some supernatural elements in it, but it's very interesting to, you know, see. It's a period piece, so they did a very good job with it.
Well, this is crazy. It's before we were running up there with icebreakers and stuff, with ships made specifically for that.
Yeah.
They would go up there, and they would literally get out of the ship, break the ice by hand, and pull it.
Yeah.
Using, you know, donkeys, mules, people, whatever they could. I mean, just a brutal.
It was then
they super get
brutal.
They get iced in, and then they go, well, we hopefully will live through the winter.
Yep, until which is winter it all starts the time. Melting in the spring.
Yeah, but, you know, the spring is not exactly spring as we think of it, and they usually did not.
Yeah. If they didn't get eaten by polar bears or freeze to death.
Yeti.
Anyways, doing all this, he was able to impress two important men who would take his cause further.
Yeah.
The first was James McBride, who was a wealthy Ohioman. He wrote articles supporting the concentric spheres version of the Hollow Earth. He lobbied a U.S. senator from Jesus Christ, Kentucky, to support a bill funding a proposed expedition to explore trade routes in the Southern Hemisphere, where McBride hoped the expedition would continue on to the open pole. Mm-hmm. Oddly enough, it was Mitch McConnell.
In his fourth concentric term.
Yeah. He is that old, the bastard. So the senator he had lobbied was actually Richard M. Johnson. Mm-hmm. Dick Johnson, who later became vice president of the United States under the very popular and still well-known, everyone knows all about his backstory, Martin Van Buren.
Speaking of backstory, I actually have him tattooed on my back, so that's cool. Martin Van Buren and Polk, both of which I have on my back. Fighting with gators. Because that's the way it goes.
In 1828, President John Quincy Adams indicated that he would approve funding for the expedition. So he's getting federal funding to do this. But when Adams left office in 1829, his successor, the bastard Andrew Jackson, stifled a bill funding the proposed expedition.
He don't like exploring holes, I guess.
Guess not.
Yeah. Sadly, Sims died in 1829 before his theory could really be tested. Yeah. But fear not, though, because his cause was continued by Jeremiah Reynolds, an Ohio newspaper editor and one hell of a freestyle rapper. Reynolds, in 18...
I think you might have made that part up. Not 100% sure. I can't really say that.
He printed all the pamphlets saying that he was, so I just
assumed. That's true. That is true. you're not the sit-up champion of the century, but a hell of a rapper. Keep going. Sorry. My bad.
I think, didn't he star in a play at the time called Eight Hogsheads?
In a duffel bag.
Not 8 Mile.
Yep.
They measured things by the hogshead, Brent.
That's right.
8 fathoms.
I got vomit on
8 furlongs.
Vomit on my, what would he be wearing? My tunic already.
On my overcoat, mom's nasty potato gruel.
Mom's mutton.
Mom's
mutton.
Don't Google that. So this Reynolds guy in 1836, he helped renew efforts for fundings of a Southern Hemisphere expedition. So they wanted to go to the ejection point.
Yeah.
He spoke before Congress emphasizing the national glory that would accompany scientific discoveries and expand foreign relations. But he became so impatient with the methodical planning and a series of delays that he was fired from the crew.
He just wouldn't shut up. When can we go? Are we ready? Can we go? Like, fuck you. Get out of here. Like, that's got to be a hell of a of a shitty experience when you lobby, you get all this shit going, and then when it's time to go, they're like, yeah, you can't go.
That's amazing.
But thanks for playing along.
And here's the kicker. They finally launched the Wilkes Expedition, which was named after its commander, Charles Wilkes. They did that in 1838, so he couldn't wait 2 years.
2 years, right, yeah.
And that was probably less because he just renewed the efforts in 1836. He didn't, you know, I don't know how long it took him to get approval, but couldn't
pretty
wait 2 years.
Pretty quick turnaround, anyways. Really.
Spoiler alert, when the expedition was completed in 1842, they had mapped a landmass where Sims had envisioned a large hole in the earth. Can you guess what they found?
I give up.
Sweet Fanny Adams. Or so they want us to think.
Yeah. Queen Elizabeth was going to release the real info and was silenced. You heard it here first.
Yeah, you know. No.
Silenced by then current Senator Mitch McConnell. But they did officially recognize the world's seventh continent, Antarctica, at the time from that. So
that's kind of cool. I mean, it was one of those things, and they had a pretty good way of going about it, saying, listen, I think there's holes there. Let's go find out. Even if there isn't, we're going to find...
Let's fuck around.
We're going to find ways for commerce. We're going to explore. We're going to find out what's down there. Like, it's a win-win, unless you're on the ships and maybe dying. they had a pretty good way of putting it forward. Just at the time, they ran into some snags in the road because, you know, when people would come into office after someone else, then, you know, it's a lot of times it's poo-pooing on what the person before you was doing.
Yeah.
So they didn't find...
That never happens.
What'd you say?
Good thing that never happens anymore.
Yeah, no. Everything like a well-greased machine now. So they didn't find what they were looking for. But did the idea die after this? Well, that's a big fat nope. And we explore that, the nope, after the break on Hysteria 51.
Hysteria 51, explore the nope. Nation, we want pictures of your dogs. That's just a personal request from me, but while you look for a good one, let me tell you about something near and dear to mine, Brent's hearts. Your dog's health. You may have noticed lots of dogs suffering from health issues these days. Joints, odors, it's not good. Actress Katherine Heigl noticed these issues too, and after a ton of research, there was one place she found we can look to support any dog's health. Their food. So she created Superfood Complete, food for your four-legged friend that's made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Her company, Badlands Ranch, also supports the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Now, I know Brent has used Superfood Complete with his lovable meatballs, and they absolutely love it. He said it's easy to prepare, both his guys grow crazy for it, and he loves knowing what he's giving them is healthy and full of ingredients that are actually beneficial to his little rapscallions. You can try it for yourself by going to badlandsranch.com/hysteria and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular priced order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/hysteria today.
Ah, the Sims theory of concentric circles proved at least the south part of it was not true, but it also proved to be the theory that just wouldn't die. I mean, how, even after the North Pole had been reached, this one cat named Marshall Gardner published a journey to the Earth's interior, or have the poles really been discovered? ? Because that's what you do. You question authority. And I mean, for good reason sometimes, but also, you know, why not? You're making a pamphlet or a book. In this rousing tome, Gardner claimed that many creatures thought to be extinct were still living within the Earth.
Paging Admiral Byrd.
No shit. And why did he make those claims? Reasons. It's not for us to question him. It's just for us to accept.
Ours, Ours is not but do or die. Not to question why.
Oh, anyway. Funny you say Animal Bird, though. Our very first episode ever of Hysteria 51 was on the Hollow Earth and Admiral Byrd and Nazis, as has so many been. Not Kentucky Nazis, just the regular flavor of Nazis. He allegedly found that Sims' missing opening, he found that, and saw extinct and never-before-seen animals, and of course, met aliens in cahoots with Nazis. That's what allegedly Admiral Byrd did, and we'd all know this if we had his missing diary.
It's a tale as old as time.
No shit.
True, David, as it can be.
Important question for you.
Okay.
Want to guess when Admiral Byrd went there, what their message for us was? These aliens in cahoots with Nazis?
Peace on Earth was all it said.
Get rid of the weapons. Bingo. Like, why is that everything? Why is that always the response?
Well, look who's coming up with these theories. Fucking hippies. Goddamn hippies coming up with this Hollow Earth shit.
Oh, man.
Saying we all need to love each other. Fuck that.
Back to that Marshall Gardner. His idea.
Brent's just like moving on.
Bingo. His idea or belief or wish or whatever you want to call this shit was that the interior was warmed by material still spinning since Earth's creation.
I mean, this is like throwing blind at a dartboard,
right?
And hitting it.
I mean, you just, yeah, right. Well, like sort of, right? There is stuff still spinning in there, and you know, you can throw so much crazy up. Something's probably going to be true. You hope, or maybe not, depending on what they're saying. Anyway, based on the law of centrifugal force, Gardner claimed that Earth was originally a spinning mass of matter.
Wow.
That's, you don't say. Then the outer layer of matter had hardened and continued to revolve around a central axis, while wow. The inner layer also hardened and was warmed by heat continually generated by the Earth spinning.
Wow.
So that's like this two world type shit, one inside and one outside, instead of the, you know, crust and mantle and all the stuff like we understand.
Crazily close.
Right. Just one extra world in there, but you know.
Yeah, just one less sun inside. Then we have one William Reed, who in 1906 published The Phantom of the Poles,
which is also available on Pornhub right now if you look. The Phantom of the Opera is there in your hole.
Inside your hole. Bah, 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 bah. He was promoting the idea that a ship can pass from outer Earth to inner Earth. And he decided one day that the effect of gravity pulls a ship against the interior in the same manner as it works on the exterior. This is where I think you fall in the hole, and you're falling, and then you slow down, and then you start falling up, and then you start, and then you slow down and start just boy. Right.
Yeah. Who knew?
Yeah. But he claimed that some sailors had already passed into an inner Earth without knowing it, but he knew it.
Right.
And not to be outdone, modern flat earthers have said that inside the Hollow Earth, there is a 600-mile long or wide sun,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah. It's a
them long suns.
You know, the measurements don't matter. We just gotta believe it in our heart. You see, it keeps them warm as the outer sun does ours. It's just ours is only 32 miles above us. Theirs is 600 miles large. So theirs actually might be larger than ours, and ours is just electric light. I don't know. It's fun.
This one warms us. And if it's 32 miles away, 600 miles, anyway.
David, I love when measurements are involved in this shit that just make no fucking sense. Where did that come from and why? Like, you
get out the bingo cards and just go ahead and check off the quantum box.
I think I must be immune to aneurysms because I almost just had one trying to figure that out myself. And I'm just like, I don't like it. I don't want, oh man, anyway.
Well, you know, we all know this isn't true, thanks to the documentary The Core, where Hilary Swank taught us that inside the Earth is actually full of geodes the size of cities and diamonds the size of skyscrapers.
That is right. And it just takes a few nukes to restart the core when your experimental weapon destabilizes it and stops it from spinning. I mean, Stanley Tucci, he was teaching us this way back in the day.
He's a Tucci teacher.
Tucci game.
I love it when epic films are like, there's one of two outcomes when nukes come into play.
Mm-hmm.
One, it's going to cause fallout and be awful for humanity. It's not an option, but they're trying to launch them anyway. Or two, it solves every problem.
I love they were doing this. And she was like a pilot for the space shuttle in that movie. And then they pick her to like pilot the ship. And then one dude is working on like the targeting system to be able to see. And it uses like
Doppler or radar or something.
Well, like what you use in like a CAT scan. And it's kind of blurry. And she comes in and she's like fiddling with the electronics. And he's like, don't touch it. And she fixes it because that's something you know how to do if you're a pilot for NASA and the Air Force. You're familiar with CAT scan machines and how to focus them. That kind of stuff. I'm just like, oh, God. Anyway.
Have you, since we're on this tangent, have you watched Moonfall?
Yes. Yes. I actually liked the idea. I thought it was poorly executed, but I loved the idea.
Do you like the idea of, I mean, I guess spoiler alert for people, but I want to hear your thoughts on this. Do you like the idea of the moon crashing into Earth, or do you like the idea that it's hollow?
No, and it's a I like the fact that like we were from elsewhere and we seated ourselves here and it was like a superstructure and they were like waiting for us to be able to
figure it out.
Yeah, right. Because there was this evil AI and all this stuff. I like that idea.
It was a little too much even for me.
It was way too much. It was poorly done.
I mean, they have the moon like taking off mountaintops because it's so close in the orbit. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, guys,
yep,
we would be toast a long time before that.
And like it's and also with, you know, gravity. There's like swells and people are flying up in the air and crashing down. And it's ripping off part of our atmosphere. So there's no oxygen.
But it comes back. And yeah, it's like, boy, was that one far-fetched.
That's what I'm saying. I really liked the idea. It was just so badly done.
There was so much, like, knob slobbing on Elon Musk, too. Did you get that?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it wasn't subtle. Oh, my God. Anyways, Moonfall. Jesus.
Moving on.
Well, anyways, we're going about these concentric worlds and all this crap. It's evolving, but we need a new theory, right? We need a new chumpeen to enter the ring. Well, here comes Cyrus Reed Teed.
That is a name among names right there.
Oh, my gosh. The Teedmeister released his book, The Cellular Cosmogony, or The Earth, a Concave Sphere.
I would have went with a pamphlet.
Damn right.
PDF, maybe?
Right.
Was it around then? In this masterpiece, old teeter-totter taught us that our civilization inhabited the concave inner surface of Earth.
Yeah, yeah. Get with the reality, you shitheads. We're on the end. Right. Now, the reason we don't realize is because this dense atmosphere prevents viewing across the surface. Otherwise, we'd look up and we could see the other side of it. And, oh, yeah, the moon reflects the larger uninhabited surface of the Earth. It's not, you know, that's what we're seeing there. And to celebrate his achievement in revealing to humanity the truth of our planet, he did the sensible thing.
He started a religion,
yeah. Plus, he changed his name to Koresh, the Hebrew equivalent of the given name Cyrus. Not David. Not quite David. As the Messiah of, wait for it, what do you think he called it?
I don't know.
Koreshanity, not Christianity. He formed a church, started a magazine.
My first thought was not Christianity. It was literally insanity.
But like I said, he formed a church. He started a magazine, The Flaming Cross, which continued to be published regularly into the 1940s.
Yikes. Yay!
And he founded a community on a 300-acre tract in Florida in 1894. They were just like, come on in. And like the all good cults. Flaming
Cross.
Mm-hmm. Like all good cults, he lived there with about 250 followers until his death in 1908.
Jeez.
And upon that said death, the followers waited for him to rise again as he had prophesized.
Guess what?
He didn't. And about 4 days later, non-believers who claimed to be health officials appeared on the scene and ordered his burial.
If they had only waited 5 days.
Exactly. He was just off with his time frame by a little bit. Otherwise, he'd have been popping. Now he was just scratching at the inside of his coffin until he ran back out of.
Man, I guess you could say he was teed off.
That is Koresh.
Yeah!
Ow! Now, not to be outdone, back to the Nazis. And this one is one that we've talked about on here, too. So, as far forward as World War II saw testing of Teed's concave Earth theory. This was really interesting, too, in a weird way. Just in case, they wanted to know for sure. So, the Nazis, they got a scientist. He aimed a camera at a 45-degree angle into the sky from the island, this one in the Baltic Sea, hoping to catch an image of the British fleet on the other side of the concave Earth. And I don't know if you know this or not, but the experiment was unsuccessful.
I guess it doesn't take a lot of time to try something like that. So.
Fuhrer? Yeah? It turns out it's not true. Shit. Well, we tried. I mean, at least they were talking about, you know, like you said, throwing it all at a dartboard and seeing what sticks, man. They were the kings of that crap. This is really just a scratching of the surface of some of the literal vast amounts of Hollow Earth theories and important names. But the Sims theory is one that kind of caught my eye and had been asked for by a lot of people. Why does this idea never seemed to die, do you think, David? What's so sexy or just so romantic about that?
There is something ironically comfortable in trying to know that there's something that people are hiding from you.
Yeah.
This knowledge that the earth is hollow, or the earth is flat, or, you know, the Illuminati are running everything, or aliens are the actual British
mole
royalty.
Mole people.
There's something seductively comforting about saying, I know the truth. I am in on it. I am smarter than all the eggheads at Harvard.
Right.
I can't be fooled, and therefore that gives me confidence and power over other people.
And even if you're not a part of it, knowing is half the battle. The other half is red and blue lasers, but knowing is half of it.
Yeah.
That's all that matters.
Yeah. That's one half. It may not be the important half, but it's one half.
What's your favorite one? If you had to pick one of these, it's going to come true. You have that power. Which one do you pick? Is it the we're on the curve and we look up, we can see it? Is it the concentric circles? Is it the giant waterfall of steam through the earth?
My favorite, I think the one I would like to be true, because I think the one that we are on the inside, the concave one, is dumb as hell, because all the math you could ever do proves otherwise, and just even looking outside to me proves otherwise, because there's a curve. And a horizon where things don't float up in the air. They go under the horizon.
That's because of the dense atmosphere. Well, we already covered that. Thank you very much.
Yeah, sure. That can kiss my ass. So my favorite one is that there is a miniature sun on the inside.
Yeah.
And you can get in there. And it's just it's like the Goldilocks theory, where it's just hot enough to make life habitable, but not hot, not too hot to burn everything.
So that's where all the naked Scandinavian women are playing volleyball and just living in
and you utopia. Know they'll be super tan, because the sun can't set down there. It's always going to be in the sky. That's the thing that they can't suss out in these theories, is that there is no sunset or sunrise There really wouldn't be a moon either, unless it's just going in a circle around it. And what's the point? It's just like there's an eclipse. There's not most of the time. So, yeah, the sun's always going to be visible. It's going to be a different color. You know, it's anyway. That's my favorite one. I think it'd be fun to find a hole down into that world and see what's kicking.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, maybe
what about
distribute
you?
Some pamphlets down there. I'm kind of like that too. I think that my favorite, I love the idea that there's just holes into it though. Just, we haven't been to it yet. That's why I don't even know. That's why we can't fly over the pole. You know, that's why Antarctica is off limits, because that's where it's actually at. And they're just keeping it from us. And you fly in there and all of a sudden you feel like you're falling and it reverts and then you're just in another Earth. And then that one can also have the sun, as you were talking about. They can be together. We can do them. We can, you know, choose your own adventure on that one. Isn't that where Kong lives now, I think we learned in that documentary a couple years ago? And Godzilla had some time in there and stuff. Yeah. Yeah. Lots of big.
That sounds like the world I want to live in.
I don't know. I was in my attic once and I found Admiral Byrd's old diary. That's what it told me. That's all I know, you know, so.
Yeah, right by that article by about Chester Copperpot.
Oh, Uncle Chester. Hashtag we miss you. So anyway, that's our thoughts on the Sims theory, the explorers of the Hollow Earth, the explorers of the theory more than the actual explorers, or the explorers, and they've just been lying to us. If you guys have your own theory, or if you have you want to tell us what your favorite one is, or someone that was onto a theory that we didn't talk about, tell us by, well, a few ways. You can email us weird@hysteria51.com. And also while you're emailing us, email us your weird stories that you want us to cover on our bonus episodes. You can tweet to us @hysteria51pod. You can find our Facebook discussion group at facebook.com/hysteria51pod. That's actually our regular page. I lied to you. Go to Facebook and search Hysteria Nation. That's our discussion group. And give us a call, 773-669-7277. Again, 773-669-7277. You can hear yourself on the show. You can leave us a voicemail. You can go to the webpage, hysteria51.com. Click the microphone there. And also, I'm happy to announce that here in just a few short weeks, coming up very soon, Adventure 3, it's same as done. So you're going to hear the third in the trilogy of our shenanigans go back and listen to the other ones if you haven't. You'll understand what's going on. So that's coming up very soon. What you got coming up on your shows?
The Blurry Photos podcast is going to have our annual Ghost Stories episode at the end of Blurry Photober here. So keep an eye out for that. And then Quiz Bang, we have started our patron tournament. So we're having patrons go head-to-head and we're going to...
Duels with alligators. It's very exciting.
Dueling with alligators, yeah. They're asking the alligators questions and the gators have to answer correctly.
Oh, snippy. In the time allotted. Oh, snippy.
So yeah, that's quiz, bang, bang for trivia. So yeah, fun stuff coming up.
Heck yeah. So yeah, the kids, get your emails to us, weird@hysteria51.com. Give us your calls, give us your thoughts. And with that said, I've been Brent.
I've been David.
He's been Conspiracy Bot.
Stay woke, meet sex.
It was terrible. It was just terrible. I'll never get over it as long as I live.
That's it for another edition of Hysteria 51. We'll be back next week with yet more of the unexplained, the unexplored, and the unheard of. Oh, if it's unheard of, how will they know about it? Anyway, if you want to suggest a topic, give us your thoughts, or just make fun of Conspiracy Bot, that's my favourite, join us in our Facebook discussion group, Hysteria Nation. Just log on to Facebook and search Hysteria Nation, or you can always tweet us at Hysteria51Pod.
You've been listening to a fourth-hand joint.